Good evening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. Isaiah, chapter number 29. I got a few verses that we're going to go through tonight. And hopefully, it'll be a blessing to you as we go through these things. I told you this morning, the title of my message is, Fake It Till You Make It. I was at work about a week and a half ago, and was talking to a couple of my supervisors about some things that are going on at work, and through the end of the conversation, one of my supervisors says, hey, Chad, here's what you need to do. If you don't know what's going on, fake it till you make it. And I know that's an old saying. We've used it quite a bit in our own lives, but to be honest with you, I don't really care for that saying because you should know what you're doing beforehand, to be honest with you. And what he was saying to me is, hey, you don't know what you're doing? Just fake it. You're okay. One day you might get there. And so I began to think about that saying for the next couple days. I couldn't get it out of my head. Fridays, thinking about it. Saturdays, thinking about it. And as I began to think about those things, I tried to begin to apply some spiritual aspect to it. And God began to deal in my heart about some issues that I believe where we as believers try to fake it until we make it. And there are two institutions tonight that I'm going to share with you that we try to fake it till we make it, and it becomes disastrous when we do these things. One is church, the other one is in our marriage. And I will show you the downfall in both of those things as we try to fake it till we make it. And I got some verses here to go along with me here in Isaiah chapter number 29. Let me get here real quick. It says, verse number 13, it says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me. But I want you to look at the next part of this verse. It says, but have removed their heart, say it with me, far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Our Heavenly Father, as I come to you tonight, really with a very difficult subject, Lord, I know that you have spoken to me about this. Lord, I have, throughout this week, I've gone back and forth on really how to bring it forth to your people. And so, Lord, I know today that you have given me the words that you would want to have said. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you would just use me to deal with a very difficult subject at times. Lord, I know it's not always popular to deal with the tough subjects, but Lord, I believe there are times we need to address these things and to take a look at it and to really see things how it needs to be seen. And so, Lord, tonight I pray if there's anybody here tonight that might be struggling with these things, I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would just begin to reveal that to every individual here. And Lord, before it's all said and done, we can get things right with you. And I ask it in your name. Amen. They draw near with their lips. They draw near with their mouth, but have removed their heart far from me. And so what I look at when I see this verse, there's two things that come to my mind. One is a faker, or one who is a pretender, or one who is a deceiver. And a few weeks ago, we looked at the life of Jacob and how he was a deceiver. Really didn't get into a whole detail of those things, but we see how that affected him and his family and so forth. But we see that there are dangers when people try to fake things. And the first thing that I want to look at tonight is one that can be very difficult at times. And I believe not only myself has been guilty of this, but I believe everybody in here, if you're honest with yourself, has been guilty of this very thing, and that is playing church. And I will say this to you, if you are a person who is playing church, my words to you are a faker, and God knows your heart. So with that being said, God knows your heart, you need to have a change of heart, you need to have a change of attitude, because going to church, being a believer, being a child of God, is a serious business. It's something that we shouldn't take with a very lackadaisical attitude. Oh, here we go again. Got to get up on a Sunday morning and spend my day at church. and we go through those motions. I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm excited to come to church, to not only see my family, but to see the blood family that God has adopted me into. And to see how through the years, we have all grown closer to God. Now, there are some cases that has not taken place in lives of individuals. Instead of drawing closer to God, they have drawn away from God. And I hate to see that in people's lives, because the ultimate goal is to keep our eyes on the prize, and that's not to demean God in any way, shape, or form, but we need to keep our eyes on God. He is our ultimate goal that we should be pleasing and trying to satisfy in our life. And church ought to become very serious to us. We live in a world today that church is not serious to people the way that it used to be. You can go back 20 years ago, I kid you not, 20 years ago, on an Easter Sunday, this church would be filled up with people that we have never seen before in this community, because they knew they needed to be in church on Easter Sunday or on Christmas Sunday as well. Unfortunately, that is not the case anymore. What has happened? Well, I believe people have gotten tired of playing church and they just stay at home. And that's where they're at today. But I've also come to understand that people who go to church are not people who they seem to be on the outside of church. What do you mean by that? Well, meaning what you see on Sunday morning is not what you see on Monday morning or Monday afternoon or Friday evening. What I've seen on a few Friday evenings in the past couple Fridays in my own life has been very discouraging, to be honest with you. Hasn't been too enlightening to me. But I also got to remember, hey, I can't keep my eyes on anybody else. I can't worry about them. I got to worry about me, the direction I'm going, and the direction that I'm taking my family. Because I am responsible for how I lead my family. And I'm going to answer to God and how I lead my wife and my daughter. Not only that, I'm responsible for how I teach my Sunday school class for discipleship, and I'm responsible for how I'm teaching up here this evening. I have a lot that I gotta be accountable for. And so I gotta worry about me. But at the same time, as I see those things begin to unfold in the lives of people, where church isn't so real to them, where they become pretenders, they become fakers, one of the jobs that I know as a speaker of God's word is that I need to be in prayer for them. Not to bring judgment upon them, because first of all, I got to understand and realize where I came from. I got to realize just because my sins aren't as corrupt as their sins, because that's how we look at it. Well, he killed somebody. Well, at the same time, I've had hatred in my heart towards a brother, and the Bible says I'm a murderer as well. And so we begin to emphasize their sin is more greater than yours. And the fact of the matter is, in God's eyes, a sin is a sin. And we need to look at it like that. But I got to be in prayer for those ones who aren't who they seem to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And they're different individuals. They're different people outside of the community, in the community. So I need to be in prayer for those folks. I've also come to understand as I've gotten older, gotten more involved and read more scripture. To me, as a younger person, church used to be more of a lip service to me. What do you mean by that? Well, it's easy. Got an easy answer for you. I grew up in a preacher's home. Went to a Christian school. I knew all the right answers. My biggest fear is those people who grew up in a Christian home and go to a Christian school. I'm fearful for those people. Why? Because they know how to say the right thing. It has become a lip service to them. All in the meanwhile, they know how to put that smile on. They know how to hide that secret sin because they're good at pretending. They're good at faking. But all the meanwhile, their heart is driven further and further away from God. Well, how do you know these things? Because I live that life. And if I'm not careful, I can live that life again. Which is why I got to keep my eyes focused upon my Father, my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So church, unfortunately, has become a lip service. What do you mean? It's not real. And it hasn't become real to them just yet. And so with it being more of a lip service to them instead of an actual lifestyle, because I know when you get saved, there is a lifestyle change. We talked about this morning in our discipleship class. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are now dead to your sins. You no longer live for those things. You have a whole new agenda, and that's living for Jesus Christ, your Lord. He is changing your past, and he's changed your past, and your future is different. Your present's going to be different. But unfortunately, there is a lip service that a lot of people go through. I've also come to understand that folks only have a head knowledge of things. I can probably go around this room tonight and ask anybody what the score was of the Nebraska and Colorado game, and without hesitation, they can probably tell me the final score, and they can probably tell me the final play. But yet, they do not have the true knowledge of God's Word. What do you mean? It's lip service. They really haven't applied it to their heart. They really haven't applied it to their lives just yet. They're good at being fakers. They're trying to fake it until they make it. But let me tell you something. That is failure. You cannot fake it until you make it when it comes to dealing with God. Because God, again, he knows your heart. He knows your motive. And it's time that we do some very serious surgical surgery on our hearts and say to God, God, examine me. Examine this old wicked heart. You know that I'm a pretender. You know that I'm a faker. God, please help me to get things right with you. Help me not to be that deceiver, that pretender, that faker that goes to church and just says one thing and does something the total opposite. By the way, parent, if that is you, you need to be careful. Because your kids are looking at you. They're examining you. I have heard people say, my mom and dad, they say this on Sunday and they act this way on Sunday, but boy, when they come home, it's totally different. They don't really believe the word. I've heard that from teenagers that go to church, that serve in church with their parents, and that's heartbreaking. So not only do we need to have the head knowledge, but we need to have the heart knowledge. And so they continue to go on in their life, and they try to fake it until they make it. You cannot say you love God with your lips and draw your heart away from him. When it comes to loving somebody, you cannot pretend. It's about giving your heart to that individual. 25 years ago, this coming January, even before that, I gave my heart, there she is in the back, to my wife. I gave that to her. I don't pretend, I don't fake, I don't try to deceive her that it belongs to anybody else. It belongs to her. I made a commitment to her. Whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm healthy, or whether I'm unhealthy, I made that commitment to her. It's not just saying I love you with my lips and not following through and giving her my heart, but it's giving her my all. I'm dumbfounded with folks who say they love God, but their heart is so far drawn away from him. That dumbfounds me. So we cannot say we love God with our lips and have your heart drawn away from God. Your heart needs to be given to him tonight. It's time that we as a church stop fooling around with Christianity, stop fooling around with God, and give him your heart. What are you saying? Stop being a faker. Stop trying to fake it until you make it. It's not going to work. Churches, unfortunately, have become filled with fakers who truly have no desire to walk with God. No desire. I've had, in the last month, as you folks know, of a situation that's come in my life that has been a little bit difficult for me, and I'm not knowing how to deal with it because it's something new for me. And as I was explaining this to my wife the other day, I'm trying to figure out how to live this way because it hasn't been natural for me for these 44 years. So something has changed inside of me where I have to do something differently. And so one of the things that I begin to do especially this week, because Pastor's message last Sunday morning really spoke to my heart. And I'm thankful for that. And one of the things that really spoke to my heart was the simple fact that I have burdens. And Jesus tells us in his words that we are to take our burdens to him. Why? Because we cannot bear them. As a matter of fact, he tells us, take my yoke, it's easy. It's easier for you to take my yoke than it is for you to have your own burden upon you. And so with this very thing that I've been burdened with, I came to the altar, I prayed a prayer, I gave it to God, but you know what I did? I took it right back. You know, so often we do those things. We take it right back. I had such great victory for the 30 or 40 seconds that I was here at the altar. I had great victory, and I claimed that promise that God is going to work in my life. But then again, the old devil began to creep in, and he began to plant that seed of doubt in my mind, and I began to take it back. But it wasn't until Wednesday where I finally woke up, and I said, I've had enough. I've had enough with taking this burden and dealing with it. And you know what I did as I'm in my work truck, as I'm driving down Broadway? I had my window down, had the air conditioner on, it was a little muggy. Turned the radio down, I was listening to some preaching that morning. And as I'm driving, I'm talking out loud to God. I'm talking out loud to God. I said, God, I cannot take this burden anymore. This is your burden, take it from me, and put your yoke upon me. And that has been my prayer every day since, and I've had great victory ever since that day. But I will not have victory every day if I keep taking that burden upon myself. That is his problem. It's not my problem. He created me. It's not my fault I'm here. It's his fault. He created me, amen? So you guys got to deal with it. Why you say all that? Because your desires change. Churches have fakers, but when you have real people, you have a true desire to walk with your Father. You have a true desire to have a relationship with him. If you don't have that desire to wake up in the morning and say, hey, God, thank you for the very breath that you're allowing me to breathe right now. And if you go on your day and you don't have that time of prayer, remember the Bible says pray without ceasing. And if you don't have that time where you just take some time out of your life just to read his word so that he can speak to you just for a moment throughout that day, if you don't have that desire, something's wrong. You cannot fake it till you make it. But I will say this as I close in on this part. I'm grateful for the ones who has a true, genuine desire to walk with God. I'm thankful for those, because those are the people that I want to draw closer to as well and glean from their wisdom and glean from their mistakes in life so that I don't make those mistakes. It's time that we as a church stop playing church and get serious with God. See, the church is under attack today. It's so much under the attack that Satan is drawing folks away from church faster than I've ever seen before. I have seen good Bible-believing people walk away from good independent Baptist churches, and now they have become involved in these so-called satellite churches so they don't have to be accountable for anything, so that they can just fit in and live and do with their life the way that they seem fit. I feel sorry for those folks. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying being a faker has become more important to them. But Chad, that's kind of cruel and that's kind of mean. I actually have some family members that have done that. And it's sad to see that God is no longer real in their life. And I got to ask myself a question. I know I'm not the judge, but I ask myself a question. Was God ever real? Was God ever real to them? So as we move along from playing church, let's go along to my second point that I want to give out to you tonight, and that is playing the marriage part. This is another institution that is under attack by Satan because he wants to destroy the family. Not only are we good at playing church, but we're also good at playing about having a good marriage. It's funny that you don't see some things in individuals' lives. I'll be honest with you. My wife will be honest with you. There have been times where we have had some intense fellowship on Sunday morning, and we've gotten into each other's faces on the way to church, probably even before church. And the next thing you know, as soon as we see somebody here in church, we're all angry, we're all mad. All of a sudden, we switch like Jekyll and Hyde, and we say, "Oh, isn't God good? It's so good to see you. Glory to God." Meanwhile, the spouse is back in the corner. That just makes me sick. We do those things, but we don't know what's going on in the life of the individual of a married couple. I do know this, that in order to be married and stay married and have a successful marriage is, first of all, remove yourself and place your marriage with God. Marriage is very difficult. It can be hard at times, but it's very rewarding. And I always hate to say it like this, but when you look at a car and you get in there and you start it up and it says service engine soon, what is that telling you? That service engine soon is telling you there's a problem that's about to arise. It might not be serious now, but later on as we drive further and further down the road, 5,000-10,000 miles later, that service engine light that's been ignored is finally going to blow up in our face. And we have warning signs when it comes to our marriages. Today, divorce isn't on the rise in the outside world for this very reason, because people aren't getting married, they're skipping marriage, they're jumping into bed with each other, and they're saying, "Hey, by common law, we're married." I deal with that with guys at work, and I deal with it every single day, and I stand up for what is right. And whenever I hear those things, I will say, you are not married in the eyes of God. You might think that you're married in your eyes, but in the eyes of God, you're not married. And I don't get a very good response from those things, but that's okay. I'd rather stand up for what's being right than not stand up at all. Amen. Than walk away with my tail tucked between my legs. By the way, I don't have a tail. I wasn't evolved from a monkey. I was actually created by God. So divorce isn't on the rise in the outside world for that very reason, but today, divorce is on the rise in the church. Divorce is on the rise in the church. Because of this very reason I said just a little bit ago about the car, because marital issues are not being resolved. Seeming happy on the inside, but miserable on the outside. One of the things that my wife and I, as we go through our marriage and we have arguments, by the way, we're not a perfect couple. We may look it, but we're not the perfect couple. But I will say this. One of the things that goes against us when we have arguments is when we begin to bring up the past. When you truly forgive somebody, the past stays in the past. Amen? Jesus doesn't bring our past up to us when we seek forgiveness from Him. He forgives us. So I would encourage you, you spouses that are in here tonight, your next argument that you get in, and I might be on your way home from church tonight, and I hope to God that's not the case. Don't bring up the past. Let that be the past. Focus on what's there right now and resolve that issue. Here's what happens. Instead of seeking godly counsel, worldly counsel sought, and here's what the world tells you. Well, you're just going to be miserable. You're not going to be happy. So I believe divorce is the best option. And so that's what takes place. For a child of God to say that they don't have love for their spouse, or they don't want to work on their marriage, something spiritually is wrong with that individual. And some of you are probably saying to me, how dare you say that? How dare you not see that? If you say that I've lost my love for my husband, if I lost my love for my wife, I'm going to say this. You're a fool. You become ignorant. You just don't lose love for somebody, no matter what they have done for you. But the world, they want to encourage, hey, You don't love them anymore. You've fallen out of love. No, that's not the case. Something spiritually has gone wrong in that individual's life. Maybe they've taken their eyes off of God. Maybe they've sought direction from somewhere else. I don't know the case. But here's what happens. So we continue on. We continue to try to fake that we're happy in our marriage. And here's what happens. Satan creeps in even more. All you have to do, folks, is give Satan a little hole in that door, a little crack in that window, and just like a mouse, he's able to creep in. Before you know it, a mouse can overpopulate your home if you just give him one opportunity. One day, we're at our house, we're watching some television, and all of a sudden, I seen a mouse run across the floor. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness. When I see a mouse, I'm like an elephant. I really am. I don't like those things, even though they're not more than 2 inches long. I don't like those things. Matter of fact, you get Jeff and I in a room with a petrified squirrel, you'll see some funny things take place. Because we've actually been trapped in a room with a petrified squirrel. It came to life on us. Scared us to death. But you have a hole in your wall on the outside of the house, just a very small hole. One mouse comes in, and it begins to populate and overrun your house. In our workshop, in the wintertime, we have a false ceiling. I kid you not, I can hear the mice run back and forth. One day I hear one, the next day I hear two, the next day I hear 300, it seems like. You give them one hole to get in, they will overpopulate. You give Satan just a little hole, just a little crack, he'll creep in even more, and he'll begin to devour and begin to destroy that marriage. A true believer, I want you to understand this, you cannot fake it till you make it in your marriage. It has to be real from the get-go. But a true believer does not think divorce. Instead, they think restoration. They think about restoring that marriage. Here's the other thing that we do. Well, we play church. We play marriage. Lastly, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, if you'll turn there. Chapter 7, verse number 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we try to play church. We try to be the best phony Christian that there is at times. We try to play our marriage thinking we have it all together. We try to pretend to people that we're very happy, but inside we're very miserable. We're on the brink of divorce. We're not wanting to restore those things. We're wanting to let Satan have victory in our lives. But finally, we try to play God. Folks, we cannot play God tonight. We cannot fool God. We cannot pretend with God. And we cannot fake God out. For this very reason, we need to understand that God knows your heart. Just as much as he knows my heart, he knows your heart. We are unable to fool him. We cannot fake it till we make it with God. And as you see in that verse, not everyone who calls him Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I will close with these few thoughts, and I will turn it over to Pastor here very shortly. Being a true child of God is being real, not just saying it, but living it, not being a pretender, not trying to fake it till you make it, but actually living it. And giving your heart to him. As I said earlier, I gave my heart to my wife 25 years ago. That same heart I gave my wife on January 6, 1995. I said I do, and I gave her my heart. But on April 25th, 1986, I gave in to God. He knocked on my door. He kept searching for me. I gave him my heart that day. Have I always been real? No, I haven't always been real. Have I tried to fake it till I make it? Yes, I've tried to fake it till I make it. And I stand before you tonight as one who has failed in that area, because I cannot be successful in that area. I have to live the life that God has called me to live. It's not always easy. It's not always going to be fun, and you're not always going to understand it. But I will tell you this, it's worth living. It's worth going through those dark hours. It's worth going through those valleys. It's worth being on the mountaintop, because God is with you side by side. He's got your hand. He's got your back. He's there to uplift you. He's there to encourage you. He's there to give you grace when you need grace. He's there to bestow mercy upon you when you need mercy. He's there for you for those things. When you give him your heart, when you stop pretending to be a faker and being real with him. The reason why church and the reason why marriages have failed is because of fakers that are involved in it. It's because they have yet to give their heart to him. As soon as you give your heart to the Lord and you're real and you're sincere about it, you're no longer going to have to worry about, man, I hope I can fool so-and-so. They will know, because they will see a change in your heart. The reason your marriage is in trouble is because your heart hasn't truly been given to your spouse. It has to be given to your spouse. But at some point you have taken it away, or you allowed something to take it away from your spouse. For whatever reason it is, I don't know what that is. But God deserves your heart, your spouse deserves your heart, and it's time we stop trying to play it, fake it until we make it. These are two institutions that Satan is working tirelessly on to destroy. He wants to destroy the church. He doesn't want God's people to grow closer to him. He doesn't want God to be glorified. He doesn't want God to be edified, to be lifted up. He doesn't want God's gospel to go further in this world. He doesn't want the marriage to succeed, because God has brought marriage to a husband and to a wife. It's God ordained. And he's working tirelessly on those things to destroy that. So how do we get to this situation? How do we resolve this? I will give you a few thoughts. Stop being so proud. Stop being so stubborn. And restore your relationship with God and your spouse. That's what keeps a lot of marriages from succeeding. And that's what keeps your relationship with God from succeeding, is your pride and your stubbornness and your unwillingness to admit that you're wrong. Do you guys see what happened this morning? Pastor started singing the song, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, I am his. And what did he say? And he is mine? Is that what he said? And that threw everybody off. You know what happened 2 seconds later? You all pointed your fingers back at him, that he made the mistake. I actually like what he said better. He is mine. Christ is mine. God is mine. I like that version better. But we're all quick to point somebody else's mistakes out instead of actually owning up to our own mistakes. There are reasons why my marriage has been in trouble at times. There is reasons why that I have had intense fellowship and intense conversations with my spouse, and that very reason is not because of her. That very reason is because of me. My own pride and my own stubbornness, willing to admit that I'm wrong when I needed to admit it. And we're so prideful, and we're so stubborn, and we don't want to give in. But if you give in to those things, you can restore your relationship with God and your spouse. And I'll close with this. This is a good thought. If your marriage with God is good, and your marriage with your spouse is good, I'm going to encourage you to do something tonight. If it's not good, or if it is good, then pray that God will start protecting it if it's not good. And if it's good, pray that God will continue to protect your marriage. Not just with him, but with your spouse. We can only do this by getting rid of our pride and our stubborn attitudes. And that's living for Jesus Christ, your Lord. He is changing your past, and he's changed your past, and your future is different. Your present's going to be different. But unfortunately, there is a lip service that a lot of people go through. I've also come to understand that folks only have a head knowledge of things. I can probably go around this room tonight and ask anybody what the score was of the Nebraska and Colorado game, and without hesitation, they can probably tell me the final score, and they can probably tell me the final play. But yet, they do not have the true knowledge of God's Word. What do you mean? It's lip service. They really haven't applied it to their heart. They really haven't applied it to their lives just yet. They're good at being fakers. They're trying to fake it until they make it. But let me tell you something, that is failure. You cannot fake it until you make it when it comes to dealing with God. Because God, again, he knows your heart. He knows your motive. And it's time that we do some very serious surgical surgery on our hearts and say to God, God, examine me. Examine this old wicked heart. You know that I'm a pretender. You know that I'm a faker. God, please help me to get things right with you. Help me not to be that deceiver, that pretender, that faker that goes to church and just says one thing and does something the total opposite. By the way, parent, if that is you, you need to be careful. Because your kids are looking at you. They're examining you. I have heard people say, my mom and dad, they say this on Sunday and they act this way on Sunday, but boy, when they come home, it's totally different. They don't really believe the word. I've heard that from teenagers that go to church, that serve in church with their parents, and that's heartbreaking. So not only do we need to have the head knowledge, but we need to have the heart knowledge. And so they continue to go on in their life, and they try to fake it until they make it. You cannot say you love God with your lips and draw your heart away from him. When it comes to loving somebody, you cannot pretend. It's about giving your heart to that individual. 25 years ago, this coming January, even before that, I gave my heart, there she is in the back, to my wife. I gave that to her. I don't pretend, I don't fake, I don't try to deceive her that it belongs to anybody else. It belongs to her. I made a commitment to her. Whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm healthy, or whether I'm unhealthy, I made that commitment to her. It's not just saying I love you with my lips and not following through and giving her my heart, but it's giving her my all. I'm dumbfounded with folks who say they love God, but their heart is so far drawn away from him. That dumbfounds me. So we cannot say we love God with our lips and have your heart drawn away from God. Your heart needs to be given to him tonight. It's time that we as a church stop fooling around with Christianity, stop fooling around with God, and give him your heart. What are you saying? Stop being a faker. Stop trying to fake it until you make it. It's not going to work. Churches, unfortunately, have become filled with fakers who truly have no desire to walk with God. No desire. I've had, in the last month, as you folks know, of a situation that's come in my life that has been a little bit difficult for me, and I'm not knowing how to deal with it because it's something new for me. And as I was explaining this to my wife the other day, I'm trying to figure out how to live this way because it hasn't been natural for me for these 44 years. So something has changed inside of me where I have to do something differently. And so one of the things that I begin to do, especially this week, because Pastor's message last Sunday morning really spoke to my heart. And I'm thankful for that. And one of the things that really spoke to my heart was the simple fact that I have burdens. And Jesus tells us in his words that we are to take our burdens to him. Why? Because we cannot bear them. As a matter of fact, he tells us, take my yoke, it's easy. It's easier for you to take my yoke than it is for you to have your own burden upon you. And so with this very thing that I've been burdened with, I came to the altar, I prayed a prayer, I gave it to God, but you know what I did? I took it right back. You know, so often we do those things. We take it right back. I had such great victory for the 30 or 40 seconds that I was here at the altar. I had great victory, and I claimed that promise that God is going to work in my life. But then again, the old devil began to creep in, and he began to plant that seed of doubt in my mind, and I began to take it back. But it wasn't until Wednesday where I finally woke up, and I said, I've had enough. I've had enough with taking this burden and dealing with it. And you know what I did as I'm in my work truck, as I'm driving down Broadway? I had my window down, had the air conditioning on, it was a little muggy. Turned the radio down, I was listening to some preaching that morning. And as I'm driving, I'm talking out loud to God. I'm talking out loud to God. I said, God, I cannot take this burden anymore. This is your burden, take it from me, and put your yoke upon me. And that has been my prayer every day since, and I've had great victory ever since that day. But I will not have victory every day if I keep taking that burden upon myself. That is his problem. It's not my problem. He created me. It's not my fault I'm here. It's his fault. He created me, amen? So you guys got to deal with it. Why do you say all that? Because your desires change. Churches have fakers, but when you have real people, you have a true desire to walk with your Father. You have a true desire to have a relationship with Him. If you don't have that desire to wake up in the morning and say, hey, God, thank you for the very breath that you're allowing me to breathe right now, and if you go on your day and you don't have that time of prayer, remember the Bible says pray without ceasing. And if you don't have that time where you just take some time out of your life just to read his word so that he can speak to you just for a moment throughout that day, if you don't have that desire, something's wrong. You cannot fake it till you make it. But I will say this as I close in on this part. I'm grateful for the ones who has a true, genuine desire to walk with God. I'm thankful for those, because those are the people that I want to draw closer to as well and glean from their wisdom and glean from their mistakes in life so that I don't make those mistakes. It's time that we as a church stop playing church and get serious with God. See, the church is under attack today. It's so much under the attack that Satan is drawing folks away from church faster than I've ever seen before. I have seen good Bible-believing people walk away from good independent Baptist churches, and now they have become involved in these so-called satellite churches so they don't have to be accountable for anything, so that they can just fit in and live and do with their life the way that they seem fit. I feel sorry for those folks. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying being a faker has become more important to them. But Chad, that's kind of cruel and that's kind of mean. I actually have some family members that have done that. And it's sad to see that God is no longer real in their life. And I got to ask myself a question. I know I'm not the judge, but I ask myself a question. Was God ever real? Was God ever real to them? So as we move along from playing church, let's go along to my second point that I want to give out here tonight, and that is playing the marriage part. This is another institution that is under attack by Satan because he wants to destroy the family. Not only are we good at playing church, but we're also good at playing about having a good marriage. It's funny that you don't see some things in individuals' lives. I'll be honest with you. My wife will be honest with you. There have been times where we have had some intense fellowship on Sunday morning, and we've gotten into each other's faces on the way to church, probably even before church. And the next thing you know, as soon as we see somebody here in church, we're all angry, we're all mad. All of a sudden, we switch like Jekyll and Hyde, and we say, "Oh, isn't God good? It's so good to see you. Glory to God." Meanwhile, the spouse is back in the corner. That just makes me sick. We do those things, but we don't know what's going on in the life of the individual of a married couple. I do know this, that in order to be married and stay married and have a successful marriage is, first of all, remove yourself and place your marriage with God. Marriage is very difficult. It can be hard at times, but it's very rewarding. And I always hate to say it like this, but when you look at a car and you get in there and you start it up and it says service engine soon, what is that telling you? That service engine soon is telling you there's a problem that's about to arise. It might not be serious now, but later on as we drive further and further down the road, 5,000-10,000 miles later, that service engine light that's been ignored is finally going to blow up in our face. And we have warning signs when it comes to our marriages. Today, divorce isn't on the rise in the outside world for this very reason, because people aren't getting married, they're skipping marriage, they're jumping into bed with each other, and they're saying, "Hey, by common law, we're married." I deal with that with guys at work, and I deal with it every single day, and I stand up for what is right. And whenever I hear those things, I will say, you are not married in the eyes of God. You might think that you're married in your eyes, but in the eyes of God, you're not married. And I don't get a very good response from those things, but that's okay. I'd rather stand up for what's being right than not stand up at all. Amen. Than walk away with my tail stuck between my legs. By the way, I don't have a tail. I wasn't evolved from a monkey. I was actually created by God. So divorce isn't on the rise in the outside world for that very reason, but today, divorce is on the rise in the church. Divorce is on the rise in the church. Because of this very reason I said just a little bit ago about the car, because marital issues are not being resolved. Seeming happy on the inside, but miserable on the outside. One of the things that my wife and I, as we go through our marriage and we have arguments, by the way, we're not a perfect couple. We may look it, but we're not the perfect couple. But I will say this. One of the things that goes against us when we have arguments is when we begin to bring up the past. When you truly forgive somebody, the past stays in the past. Amen? Jesus doesn't bring our past up to us when we seek forgiveness from Him. He forgives us. So I would encourage you, you spouses that are in here tonight, your next argument that you get in, and I might be on your way home from church tonight, and I hope to God that's not the case. Don't bring up the past. Let that be the past. Focus on what's there right now and resolve that issue. Here's what happens. Instead of seeking godly counsel, worldly counsel sought, and here's what the world tells you. Well, you're just going to be miserable. You're not going to be happy. So I believe divorce is the best option. And so that's what takes place. For a child of God to say that they don't have love for their spouse or they don't want to work on their marriage, something spiritually is wrong with that individual. And some of you are probably saying to me, how dare you say that? How dare you not see that? If you say that I've lost my love for my husband, if I lost my love for my wife, I'm going to say this, you're a fool. You've become ignorant. You just don't lose love for somebody, no matter what they have done for you. But the world, they want to encourage, hey, you don't love them anymore. You've fallen out of love. No, that's not the case. Something spiritually has gone wrong in that individual's life. Maybe they've taken their eyes off of God. Maybe they've sought direction from somewhere else. I don't know the case. But here's what happens. So we continue on. We continue to try to fake that we're happy in our marriage. And here's what happens. Satan creeps in even more. All you have to do, folks, is give Satan a little hole in that door, a little crack in that window, and just like a mouse, he's able to creep in. Before you know it, a mouse can overpopulate your home if you just give him one opportunity. One day, we're at our house, we're watching some television, and all of a sudden, I seen a mouse run across the floor. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness. When I see a mouse, I'm like an elephant. I really am. I don't like those things, even though they're not more than 2 inches long. I don't like those things. Matter of fact, you get Jeff and I in a room with a petrified squirrel, you'll see some funny things take place. Because we've actually been trapped in a room with a petrified squirrel. It came to life on us. Scared us to death. But you have a hole in your wall on the outside of the house, just a very small hole. One mouse comes in, and it begins to populate and overrun your house. In our workshop, in the wintertime, we have a false ceiling. I kid you not, I can hear the mice run back and forth. One day I hear one, the next day I hear two, the next day I hear 300, it seems like. You give them one hole to get in, they will overpopulate. You give Satan just a little hole, just a little crack, he'll creep in even more, and he'll begin to devour and begin to destroy that marriage. A true believer, I want you to understand this, you cannot fake it till you make it in your marriage. It has to be real from the get-go. But a true believer does not think divorce. Instead, they think restoration. They think about restoring that marriage. Here's the other thing that we do. Oh, we play church. We play marriage. Lastly, in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, if you'll turn there, chapter 7, verse number 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So we try to play church. We try to be the best phony Christian that there is at times. We try to play our marriage thinking we have it all together. We try to pretend to people that we're very happy, but inside we're very miserable. We're on the brink of divorce. We're not wanting to restore those things. We're wanting to let Satan have victory in our lives. But finally, we try to play God. Folks, we cannot play God tonight. We cannot fool God. We cannot pretend with God. And we cannot fake God out. For this very reason, we need to understand that God knows your heart. Just as much as he knows my heart, he knows your heart. We are unable to fool him. We cannot fake it till we make it with God. And as you see in that verse, not everyone who calls him Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I will close with these few thoughts, and I will turn it over to Pastor here very shortly. Being a true child of God is being real. Not just saying it, but living it. Not being a pretender. Not trying to fake it till you make it, but actually living it. And giving your heart to him. As I said earlier, I gave my heart to my wife 25 years ago. That same heart I gave my wife on January 6, 1995. I said I do, and I gave her my heart. But on April 25th, 1986, I gave in to God. He knocked on my door. He kept searching for me. I gave him my heart that day. Have I always been real? No, I haven't always been real. Have I tried to fake it till I make it? Yes, I've tried to fake it till I make it. And I stand before you tonight as one who has failed in that area, because I cannot be successful in that area. I have to live the life that God has called me to live. It's not always easy. It's not always going to be fun, and you're not always going to understand it. But I will tell you this, it's worth living. It's worth going through those dark hours. It's worth going through those valleys. It's worth being on the mountaintop, because God is with you side by side. He's got your hand. He's got your back. He's there to uplift you. He's there to encourage you. He's there to give you grace when you need grace. He's there to bestow mercy upon you when you need mercy. He's there for you for those things. When you give him your heart, when you stop pretending to be a faker and being real with him. The reason why church and the reason why marriages have failed is because of fakers that are involved in it. It's because they have yet to give their heart to him. As soon as you give your heart to the Lord and you're real and you're sincere about it, you're no longer going to have to worry about, man, I hope I can fool so-and-so. They will know, because they will see a change in your heart. The reason your marriage is in trouble is because your heart hasn't truly been given to your spouse. It has to be given to your spouse. But at some point you have taken it away, or you allow something to take it away from your spouse. For whatever reason it is, I don't know what that is. But God deserves your heart, your spouse deserves your heart, and it's time we stop trying to play it, fake it until we make it. These are two institutions that Satan is working tirelessly on to destroy. He wants to destroy the church. He doesn't want God's people to grow closer to him. He doesn't want God to be glorified. He doesn't want God to be edified, to be lifted up. He doesn't want God's gospel to go further in this world. He doesn't want the marriage to succeed, because God has brought marriage to a husband and to a wife. It's God ordained. And he's working tirelessly on those things to destroy that. So how do we get to this situation? How do we resolve this? I will give you a few thoughts. Stop being so proud. Stop being so stubborn. And restore your relationship with God and your spouse. That's what keeps a lot of marriages from succeeding. And that's what keeps your relationship with God from succeeding, is your pride and your stubbornness and your unwillingness to admit that you're wrong. Do you guys see what happened this morning? Pastor started singing the song, Father Abraham, Father Abraham, I am his. And what did he say? And he is mine? Is that what he said? And that threw everybody off. You know what happened 2 seconds later? You all pointed your fingers back at him, that he made the mistake. I actually like what he said better. He is mine. Christ is mine. God is mine. I like that version better. But we're all quick to point somebody else's mistakes out instead of actually owning up to our own mistakes. There are reasons why my marriage has been in trouble at times. There is reasons why that I have had intense fellowship and intense conversations with my spouse, and that very reason is not because of her. That very reason is because of me. My own pride and my own stubbornness, willing to admit that I'm wrong when I needed to admit it. And we're so prideful, and we're so stubborn, and we don't want to give in. But if you give in to those things, you can restore your relationship with God and your spouse. And I'll close with this. This is a good thought. If your marriage with God is good, and your marriage with your spouse is good, I'm going to encourage you to do something tonight. If it's not good, or if it is good, then pray that God will start protecting it. If it's not good, and if it's good, pray that God will continue to protect your marriage. Not just with him, but with your spouse. We can only do this by getting rid of our pride and our stubborn attitudes.